So to begin today, like I said, we're talking about how the Christian life is all about rhythm. How many of you, and be proud about it if so, how many of you think you got rhythm? Raise your hand. Yeah, all right. He was fast. I like that. How many of you don't have rhythm, but you try anyways? How many of you don't have rhythm and you don't try either? Finally, this is for the spouses or friends nearby, or maybe be honest with yourself. How many of you actually, in retrospect, think you got rhythm, but you don't? I don't know. I think I might be that last one. I think I got it, but I don't. I remember taking communion as a kid at our church out in the country, a little church, and we always had Hawaiian bread. You know what that is? It's like this really sweet, fluffy bread with grape juice. And I remember kind of being hungry in church. And I remember having that aftertaste of the bread and juice, that sweet bread, and thinking to myself, man, I wish I could have more of that. But I couldn't. But it leaves kind of this aftertaste in your mouth. And we don't have that nice Hawaiian bread. We have something that's a little flatter, probably more what Jesus had. But as you taste that, may you remember that it's supposed to stay there with you. And it's supposed to tell you that you belong here. No matter what your feelings were, whatever your posture was, you belong at this table. You're celebrated at this table with Jesus, and you're restored at this table with Jesus. Would you pray with me? God, sometimes we do these rituals and practices and they lose their meaning. But they can also be a way for us to find you again. And so we pray that this communion, that this time of worship, that this day to think about Sabbath would bring us back to you, would put us in rhythm with your Holy Spirit in this Christian walk. In the name of Christ, amen. See, you might be asking yourselves, why are we talking about these questions after we just finished this series? Apparently, it's in your bulletin. If you take out your bulletin, see those two questions there at the top? It says, what is Sabbath and why must we practice it weekly? That's a question we're thinking about. You might say to yourself, how does that fit with this last series that we just did, The Voice? Well, that series was all about what now? We voiced that question the disciples had for Jesus. It was like, hey, what do you mean? Or what now? I mean, okay, so Jesus the Christ died on the cross and was raised from the dead. So what? What now? Jesus' answer was, well, the what now is Holy Spirit. It's this mysterious last piece of God, the one that's really hard for us to get. Jesus says, if you're going to get anything, you've got to get that. You've got to follow me and move and breathe and live by this Holy Spirit. That's how you're going to emerge as an individual follower of Christ. That's how you are going to emerge as the church. Or as we said at the beginning of that series, that's how we're going to gather around God's fire and share God's story. Here's where Sabbath comes in. As we think about the saints, so the people we recognize who have come before us, who have emerged, they've emerged in this Christian walk. Here's what they've taught us about Holy Spirit, that the Christian life is all about rhythm. In other words, it's this. There are certain practices, certain things that if we do them regularly and meaningfully, we will find ourselves in step with the Holy Spirit as we do this Christian walk. If we do these practices regularly, we're going to emerge kind of organically as individual followers. And as the church, and some of you are like, but Ross, I don't have rhythm. I can't dance. The cool thing about this rhythm is that everybody can do it. Everybody can. Everybody's got this rhythm. It's not like music, but I'm going to use a music analogy. It's like when you first learn scales on the guitar. How many of you play instruments? You're going to be the rhythm folks, all right? How many have tried to play an instrument and failed? All right? Well, nonetheless, what a lot of these teachers will get you going on is scales, you know? You're going to learn scales in a certain key. What kind of notes? Justin, how many notes are in a scale?
Eight.
Eight, thank you. You're going to learn eight notes in different scales, right? I remember when I was first learning these scales on the guitar and how utterly difficult they were. I couldn't stretch my fingers out. My fingers were hurting, and I hadn't developed calluses, so the strings were hurting my fingers, and it sounded terrible. The strings were buzzing, but I kept going with it. I kept practicing these things, and I got a little nimbler. My fingertips got a little bit harder. I was finding myself stretching out a little more, doing these things, until eventually I started doing them very quickly, and then I developed, this thing in music where you start doing it without thinking. Do anyone know what that's called? Muscle memory. I started doing this and I was like, wow, I'm not thinking so much about this anymore. And then, here's when the cool thing happened. I found myself playing that scale in a song. That's what this is like. Except every single one of you can do it. The Christian life is all about rhythm. It's about doing these practices. You keep doing them until it starts to become a little bit of muscle memory, and then you find yourself in step with the Holy Spirit doing this dance with God. You find yourself one day going, wow, I am raised up from the dead. I got a new life inside of me. The Christian life is all about rhythm and the practice that launches us into that rhythm. What we're talking about today, can you guess, is what? Sabbath. It's the practice that propels us into this dance, into this scale playing, into this song of the Christian walk. If we practice this Sabbath regularly, we're going to find ourselves in rhythm, in step with the Holy Spirit. Now, but before I talk about the how and what of Sabbath, let me tell you a little something about the how and what of humans that you already know. Did you know that humans like to take shortcuts? You didn't know that, did you? You did know that, didn't you? Let me tell you a story. I was in sixth grade. I was carrying around a little extra weight. I wanted to come into the basketball season next year a little slimmer, a little quicker. And so me and my dad, we jumped on board with this diet. See, scientists were coming out at that time and they were saying, fat is the enemy. If you cut fat completely out of your diet, you're going to slim down in no time. And so we did just that. 20 grams of fat a day. We limited ourselves to. And so what did we do? How did we try to live that out? Well, we went to the store and bought every fat-free product we could find. Low-fat salad dressing, fat-free salad dressing, actually. We found fat-free, cottage cheese, yeah. Fat-free milk. And then here's the craziest one of the bunch. Fat-free spray-on butter. Yeah, someone just said yum. Let me tell you what fat-free spray-on butter is like. Basically, you get your piece of toast out of the toaster. You spray this stuff on and you take a bite, and you realize all that you've taken a bite of is water. It's like you've put food-colored water on your toast. Well, I lost weight that summer, and then guess what I did? I gained every pound of it back plus some. Right? Dad, do you remember this? I gained all of it back. All of it. And then scientists, what are they telling us now about fat? You need it. Duh. You need a good amount of fat every single day. You need like 65 grams of it every single day. And you know what scientists are saying now what we should eat? Butter. Full, solid, natural butter, creamy butter, like the stuff that spilled on the highway the other day. Did you hear about that? You need that on your toast, not that spray-on stuff. Here's what you need. You need a natural diet, a balanced diet, and you need moderation. Nothing is ever going to replace that. Nothing. Nothing is ever going to replace the fact. I know we love fad diets. I know we love shortcuts. But nothing is going to replace this undeniable fact. That nothing will replace the fact that you and me, every day of our lives, every week, we're going to have to make healthy choices towards that end. Natural, balanced, moderation. And some of you are saying, Ross, where on earth are you going with this? Well, there are no shortcuts in this Christian life. There's none. Fat isn't the enemy, friends. We are. The fact that we like shortcuts and the fact that we like diets, that's the enemy, fad diets. We're not the enemy in the case of our diet, or fat isn't. We are, and the same thing in our spiritual lives. We like shortcuts. Just as we're going to have to do those daily, weekly, healthy choices, the same thing is true for this Christian life. We have got to make daily practices normal for ourselves. We've got to make weekly practices in this Christian life normal so that we find this rhythm. We cannot take shortcuts, although I know that we love them. We love fat-free spray-on butter because it means we don't have to think. We don't have to use our heads. But it doesn't work. You end up gaining all the weight back. So, what's the practice that launches us into that rhythm? What is it? Sabbath. Will you say that word, Sabbath? How many of you have no idea what that means, really? You don't have to raise your hand. I don't want to make you feel stupid. We've heard that word a lot in Christian circles, haven't we? You know, well, it's the Sabbath day. What does that mean? Well, let's start here with what Sabbath is. We're going to get to the what and the how of it. Sabbath is mentioned 111 times in the Old Testament. So what, right? Well, Sabbath means a whole lot in the biblical world. It means a whole lot. Sabbath is this word that means rest. And some of you are really excited, like, Ross, you're going to tell me to lounge around today? Well, it's not that kind of rest. It's not like lounging around and catching up on Netflix kind of rest, which I really like. It's not that kind of rest. Sabbath is a different kind of rest. It's this kind of rest. The story in Genesis. It's the beginning story. The one you know in Genesis 1. It's the story that started like this because the Bible started as oral stories. They were all told around campfires. And so that one in Genesis 1 started like this. Grandfather around a fire. Picture the family around the fire back in, I don't know, 1500 BC. Grandfather, why do we practice Sabbath? And then grandfather started like this. He went, well, in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, there was a darkness, formless void, and he started telling this story. And he said, on the first day, God said, let there be what? Anyone know? Light. And there was light. So this grandpa started telling this story about a God who says, let it happen, and it happens. And he keeps doing that the first day. He does it the second day. He does it on the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day. On the sixth day, he says, let us create humankind in our image. And he saw that that was good. And then on the seventh day, he did what? He rested. Grandfather said, that's why we practice Sabbath. Because even God stopped his creativity and his movement for just a minute to think about what had just happened, to stop before he goes forward. That's what this rest is. It's a stopping to smell the roses. Forgive the cliche, stopping to smell the roses, but that's what it is. It's stopping for a minute and saying, hey, I need to think about what has happened. I need to pay special attention to what has happened to be recharged, to think about what will happen. From that moment forward, around that campfire, God's people, their lives revolved around Sabbath. Around that resting thing. It's in the top 10. The Ten Commandments, keep the Sabbath holy. It's in the top 10. Their lives revolved around this. This kind of rest gave them the rhythm for their lives. It put them in step with God. So is it any surprise that when this guy by the name of Jesus came onto the scene, what were the religious authorities really angry about that he kept doing? Breaking the Sabbath. They didn't like what he was doing on that day when you're supposed to rest, when you're supposed to stop and smell the roses, reflect about what God has done, and maybe trust what God will do going forward. They said, hey, Jesus, stop doing work, man. We have one of those stories here in Mark. Listen to these words from Mark chapter 2. Jesus went through the fields on the Sabbath. As the disciples made their way, they were picking heads of wheat. The Pharisees said to Jesus, look, why are they breaking the Sabbath law? In other words, they're not keeping the Sabbath holy by not working. They're not resting. And then Jesus does his Jesus thing. He said to them, haven't you ever read what David did when he was in need? King David, the one to whom we give credit for all these Psalms. Haven't you heard what he did when he was in need, when he and those with him were hungry? During the time when Abiathar was high priest, so he's like, hey, remember that story that's in the Old Testament? When that was going on, David went into God's house and ate the bread of presence, which only the priests were allowed to eat. He also gave bread to those who were with him. Then he said this, the Sabbath was created for humans. Humans weren't created for the Sabbath. So this Jesus thing that Jesus does is this. He takes one of their most favorite people in the world, King David, and he tells them about this big old sin that David did. He says, remember that time when he went into the tent of meeting, that meeting, that holy space, and he took the bread that no one's supposed to touch except the priests? He not only took it, but he ate it. And he not only ate it, but he shared it with his buds. Jesus says, hey, God didn't create human for instructions, or instructions to be over the top of human beings. In other words, this. God didn't create instructions and see if human beings could be holy. God didn't create human beings to see if they could do the right thing. God didn't create human beings to test them. God created instructions, gave instructions to human beings so that they could see God, know God, and believe in God. Instructions from God are life-revealing and God-revealing. And that's what the Sabbath is too. The Sabbath is life-giving and God-revealing. Because, as I said, Sabbath is the one time a week, I'm going to read it straight from my paper, where we stop everything. We stop everything to pay attention to what God has already done, which leads us to trust and hope in God's ways for the future. Where we stop, we pay attention to what God has already done, underline that word already, which helps us to trust and hope in God's ways in the future. Justin and I went here. Any of you Carmelites know where this is? You know where this is? Anyone? Yes. Cool Creek. Correct. 100 points for Scott Fogo. This is this walkway over Cool Creek. Justin and I went there this past week. We'd never been there in 2.5 years working here. And we walked over to this creek and stepped onto this bridge. Now, you can't really see it in the picture, but there on both sides of this bridge, both sides, Cool Creek, we looked at one side, which is the north side, and the water was like way down. It was very quiet over there on that side. The trees, look at them all overhanging. You see that? It's kind of dark over there. It's really quiet. We found ourselves looking at that side going, wow, that's like what God has already done. That side over there, it's kind of quiet. And we found ourselves stopping to smell the roses. See, because as human beings, we don't do that. Why? Because we like shortcuts. We pass right over these things. We try to take shortcuts to get to God. We are in this culture that says, go, 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 never stop. But we found ourselves on this bridge, stopping, celebrating what God had already done in our lives, in and through and among us. We were looking on that side, doing that, saying, wow, how quiet and peaceful that is. And then we turned to the south. Look how different it is over there on the left. It was wide open. The water was picking up speed a little bit. It was a little rocky. Justin and I found ourselves in agreement about this. We found ourselves at a transition point where we realized things in our lives were going to pick up speed. But on that bridge, we found ourselves trusting God. Why? Because we recognized what God had already done. And so we trusted God going forward. That's what Sabbath is. It's stopping along this walkway, looking back to what God has already done, which helps you to trust God going forward. I said this to you. The Christian life is all about rhythm. That's why you're here today, I hope. This worship space is a part of Sabbath. This communion table is one part of Sabbath today. It's our stopping place. It's our walkway to look back to help us to look forward. We're stopping here today. We're resting. It is a special place of rest. And I'm thankful that you're here today. I want to do this, though, before we go today. Before I close up, the last thing. This is all very theological, spiritual stuff. I want to give you some practical things to help you to practice Sabbath, integrate it as the practice that launches you into rhythm. Number one, I've got four things, basically, to challenge you with to practice this Sabbath, to make it the thing that launches you into rhythm. Number one, pick a day. Pick a day in your week that is your Sabbath day. Traditionally, guess what? You're in good shape. It's this one right here, Sunday. You're already doing it. Sabbath for me is not on Sunday because I work on Sunday. I love you all, but this takes a little effort throughout the week. It does. Sabbath is not Sunday for me, it's Friday. I have to pick my day where I'm going to have a chance to really stop along that walkway. I'm really going to have a chance to stop and smell the roses. What day is that for you? Maybe it's this one. Pick a day. Number two, after you pick a day, say no to regular things in your life. Say no to a few things. Well, I'll use myself as an example. What does that mean for me? Well, that means that I do not answer my work emails on Friday. I don't touch those things. I give myself space from my work. I step back from it completely. I try to not do anything where I might even think about my work. On Friday morning, I have an extended time of prayer and scripture reading. This Friday, I journaled for about an hour. And you're saying to yourself, Ross, I can't do that though. That's not in my skill set. Remember the guitar analogy? You just haven't been doing it long enough. Say no to certain things. Maybe for you that means like a social media disconnection. You need time away from your technology. Or you need time away from driving, going anywhere. You need to just stay home. Number two, say no to certain regular things. This is number three, say yes to some irregular things. My example was the prayer, the scripture, the journaling. Something that really helps you to stop and reflect on what God has already done. For some of us, that takes a lot of looking and listening because our faith has been so hard recently. Give yourself that extra thing to do on that Sabbath day. So pick a day, say no to some things, say yes to some other things. Those are basically the three. The only thing I add, number four, is I dare you to do it until September. I dare you to do it for a month and see what it does. To really take this day apart, not just an hour on this Sunday morning. This is just worship. It's not Sabbath altogether. Sabbath is a whole day. It's a whole resting day. Pick that day, say no to some things, say yes to others, and do it for a month. All right, I lied. There's a bonus, number five. And then this is it, I promise. I've been talking forever today. Number five, we're going to give you some resources this week. So if you go to thecurrentstmarks.org, there is a little post that says resources. Every day this week, I'm going to give you ideas for observing Sabbath. TheCurrentStMarks.org. If you go there, I will give you resources every day this week about how to practice Sabbath. The other thing is, we're going to have a thread on Facebook. Do you like The Current St. Marks yet on Facebook? I just plugged it hardcore. Go like it today, because here's what we're going to do. I'm going to post a question on there this week. What are you going to try for a month? It'll be a forum. Maybe you'll help your friends who are like, I have no idea what to do for Sabbath. TheCurrentStMarks.org and on Facebook. Check out those two things this week. The Christian life is all about rhythm. Sabbath launches us into it. Let's pray. God, a simple prayer to close up our look into your Bible today, into your scriptures. Help us to pull this off. Help us to practice Sabbath, this day of rest, this day to recognize what you have done and to help us to trust you going forward. Give us strength to do that in the name of Christ. Amen.